Brigenfield. He's also a Shiva here in our yeshiva. And we're very privileged. And he comes to join us a few times a year to share some thoughts with us, especially here before Hanukkah. I assume it's going to be about Hanukkah.
Yeah, we'll touch on Hanukkah. We'll leave it at Hanukkah. Why not?
It's interesting, we have a father-son Sunday coming in a few weeks, and it's the day before Hanukkah, and they told us to speak about something else. And everyone's like, what? Can we speak about Hanukkah? Okay, and they figured that'd be too cliche, I guess.
I guess, too obvious.
Too obvious.
I never have his anywhere.
Here we go.
Ah, okay. Now there's.
I'll get you
out. Tell everyone else to come in, please. Oh, here we go.
Without any further ado, thank you. You guys are very lucky, as I hope you know, to have a Rebbe like Rabbi Mendelsohn. It's a whole production over here. I wish I could sit for a few weeks and learn how it works over here. It's unbelievable. Okay, so Rebbe said I should speak about Hanukkah. The truth is, the Hanukkah sugya, when the Gemara introduces Maseches Shabbos. It's interesting. We don't have a Maseches Chanukah. We don't have Mishnayos Chanukah. We don't have a Torah Shebichsav Sefer like we do by Purim. We have Megillas Esther. We don't really even have a Torah Shebaal Peh for Chanukah in a certain sense, because Chanukah is so much connected to Torah Shebaal Peh that we couldn't even write it down once we had permission to write it down. So this sprinkled throughout Shas, there's different Mishnayos that touch on Chanukah. There's Mishnah Bava Kama, Mishnah Bikurim, reference in Megillah. Different places we got a little bit of a glimpse of Chanukah. Of course, the main sugya of Chanukah comes up in Maseches Shabbos. And the Gemara introduces it, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? We're trying to figure out what is the question. You're asking, what is Chanukah? You're asking, why Chanukah is called Chanukah? And how does the Gemara begin its answer? Detanu Rabbanan. So there's an amazing vart. There's an amazing insight from Rav Meir Shapiro, who was the founder of the Daf Yomi. And it's also found in the writings of the Tiferes Shlomo, the Rebbe of Radomsk, Chassidus Rebbe. They both say the same part, which is, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? Detanu Rabbanan, period. Stop right there. What is Chanukah? Detanu Rabbanan. That the rabbis taught Torah, the Talmidim learned Torah. Chanukah is a celebration of Torah. It's a victory of Torah. What did the Avonim not like about Jews? Did they want to kill us? Look in the writings of the Maharal. They didn't want to kill us. They weren't trying to kill us. On Purim, they were trying to kill us. That's why in Purim we celebrate our physical survival by having a Purim Suda. On Chanukah, there's no Chiyuv Suda, because Chanukah is a celebration of what? Of our spiritual survival. So how do we celebrate Chanukah? Donuts? It's cute. We celebrate Chanukah by learning Torah. My Chanukah, the Tanur Rabbanan. What is Chanukah? Lima Torah. That's what it's all about. The Maharal writes, the Avonim hated the idea that the Jewish people have a wisdom that's bigger than their own wisdom. Right. Meaning the Avonim were very smart people. The Avonim had all sorts of ideas and philosophies. In many ways, they were a very advanced and developed people. In many ways, they were still a very barbaric people. But in many ways, they were philosophers, they were thinkers. They were very proud of what? Of their man-made wisdom. Their own ideas. They couldn't imagine that there could be something that is bigger than man-made ideas. They couldn't imagine there's something bigger than themselves. And therefore, the gaiva of Yavan, the haughtiness of Yavan, is not a rejection of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are Gvaldic people. The Jewish people also have a lot of good ideas. Just don't tell me these ideas are from some, you know, place beyond this world. They wanted to level the playing field. You have your ideas, we have our ideas, you'll share your ideas with us, we'll share our ideas with you. And everyone will, you know, a marketplace of ideas. However, that's what we're fighting against on Chanukah. We're trying to remind ourselves that Torah is not the same on any level as any man-made philosophy. The greatest innovations, the greatest ideas, the greatest things that our minds can come up with doesn't come anywhere close to the Chochmah Elokis, the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we're fighting for on Chanukah. So when we learn Torah on Chanukah, right, that's the greatest thing we could do. You want to have a little Chanukah get-together, you know, eat a few donuts, sing a few nugunim, it has a place. But the Iker victory, the way that we celebrate Chanukah, is by what? Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. When you look at that candle, when you light that candle, it's just supposed to remind you, ner Hashem nishmas adam, like the pasuk says, that the candle of Hashem is your neshama, and that your neshama was sent to this world to live a life of Torah and mitzvah. That's what we're trying to do on Chanukah. We're trying to remind ourselves how powerful and how important Torah is in our lives. So I want to tell you a story that I saw, a short little story, with a complex message, but you guys are serious B'nai Torah. I think you'll be able to understand the nuance of it. There's a sefer called Meged Givos Olam. I have it right here. By Rabbi Shurkin. And he tells a story. It's a realistic story. It's a hard story. It's a short story. It's not even much of a story, but it's a lesson that I want to share with you. He says there was a Talmud Chacham Atzum, a great Talmud Chacham, who did something that was very unbecoming for a Talmud Chacham. I don't know what he did. It doesn't say in the sefer. He did Lo Aleinu Maisa Lo Tov. And everyone was very shaken by it. I don't know what he did. He committed some aveira that was a big bizayon, a very big bizayon, a big chilul Hashem. This Talmud Chacham was nichshol in this thing, whatever it was. So people were very bothered by it, understandably so. It went totally against everything that he presented himself to be, a person of Torah values. So it says here that they asked Reb Leib Malin, who's a great Rosh Yeshiva, based on Talmud. They asked Reb Leib Malin, how could it be? How could it be a person learns Torah and at the same time does such a reprehensive act? How could it be that he's involved in such a scandalous behavior? How could it be? So listen to what Reb Leib Malin said. Reb Leib Malin said, Torah is not a tanur. Torah is not an oven. Torah is not an oven. What does it mean Torah is not an oven? What he meant was, you put something in the oven, right? You put some cookie dough in the oven, you just leave it, you turn it on, you turn on the fire, and all of a sudden, the cookie becomes a cookie. The challah, which was raw dough, turns into a challah. It gets transformed through that process of afia. It's baked, and it comes out looking different. You stick it in the oven, you put the timer on, you come back, and it's a different thing. So Reb Leib Malin said, Torah doesn't work like that. Torah is also a fire. Torah is also an ish. Right? But Torah doesn't automatically transform a person. He says it's possible for a person to learn a lot of Torah, but it doesn't necessarily change a person. So let's pause here for a second, because this is the secondary point that I want to make in the story. You'll see the next part of the story, a different answer to the question of how this Talmud Chacham did this terrible thing. But let's pause here for a second. Let's ask ourselves the question. Does Torah automatically change a person? What do you think? I'm asking you a serious question. What are you guys learning this year? Chulin? Okay, so you learn chulin, you become a different person automatically. You can say yes or no. Don't be biased. I'm not. You say no. Why do you say no?
I think that mentality.
Because Reb Leib Malin said that a person can. Yeah, no, that's here. Why no?
I think there's a certain part of the learning that needs to be a certain mentality. That depending on the mentality of the person, it could, meaning the chulin, it could warrant a growth if you're thinking about. I want to connect to Hashem. I want to learn more waffles. I want to.
Okay.
But if you're thinking just like, oh, like let's get a. I don't know, let's get a 90 and then we'll get out of here. Like that's not gonna.
Okay, but what about the fact that the Gemara says in Pesachim on Daf Nun, Shemitoch Shelo Lishma Ba Lishma, that you're allowed to learn Torah Lo Lishma because eventually it'll lead to learning Torah Lishma. Right? It seems like Chazal encourages us to learn Torah even if we're not going to do it in the right way. So there are a few places in Shas. This is Shemitoch Shelo Lishma Ba Lishma.
It does mean that you should learn even if it's not going to make you better at the time, but. So over time it will happen, but not necessarily.
Okay.
If I just pick up a Gemara, am I going to just pick all of a sudden?
Okay, so you're saying it doesn't happen instantaneously. Maybe if you learn enough, the changes will come. Okay, could be. Yeah, let's hear.
In the Gemara in Tanis, it says that if you're learning Torah, Lishma, it's Samchaim, not Samavas.
Right, because Gemara in Yoma like that. Could be it's also in Tanis. The Gemara in Yoma says Torah could be Samchaim or Sam Misa, which means it could be the greatest medicine in the world or it could be poison. The Vilna Gaon writes in one place, that Torah is compared. What is Torah compared to? Tell me some things Torah is compared to. I said Torah is compared to fire a moment ago. What else is Torah compared
water,
to?
Wine.
Ain mayim el Torah, right? Rav Kama Daf Yud Zayin. Ain mayim el Torah. Torah is compared to water. So the Vilna Gaon says, when a person has a field, right, and they water their field, so what's going to happen? Things are going to grow. But says the Vilna Gaon, what are you watering? If you're watering flowers, you have beautiful flowers. If you're watering vegetables, you have beautiful vegetables. If you're watering weeds, you're just going to grow more weeds. So the Vilna Gaon said, depends on your character. If you're not a refined person and you keep pouring Torah on yourself, so to speak, pouring that water on yourself, sometimes it makes you actually a worse person. And that's what that Gemara is very good. The Gemara in Yoma says that Torah could become a samisa. Torah could be destructive to a person. I told you a moment ago, mitoch shelo lishma balishma, that's one Maimer Chazal. But there's another Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. You know what the Gemara says there? A person who learns Torah lo lishma, it would be better not to have been born. Very scary lashon. The Gemara says, it would have been better, this is actually how the Gemara says it, it would be better that your mother would have had a miscarriage when she was pregnant with you. It's very strong words for Chazal. Right? So Tosfos raises the question. So which is it? Does lo lishma lead to lishma? That's the Gemara of Pesachim. Or is lo lishma so terrible that better not to get involved at all? And Tosfos says there's two types of lo lishma. Right? There's a lo lishma that what a person says, I like learning Torah because it makes me feel chashuv. It gives me honor. People say I'm a shtark guy. You know? People say, wow, he learned so much. He's Talmid Chacham, he's a tzaddik. People say nice things to me. You know? I get to a certain level of my learning. I walk into a room, people stand up for me. I like the kavod. If a person learns for their own kavod, it's not ideal at all. The honor should be given to Hashem. Hashem should be given our honor. But that's the type of lo lishma that we can handle. But if you learn, says Tosfos, in a lo lishma, in a way to put someone else down, not about putting yourself up and feeling chashuv, and giving yourself kavod, but if you use your Torah to make someone else feel, oh, you don't know that? You don't know that Maimer Chazal? Oh, you never learned? Oh, you never learned that Mesachta? Oh, you don't understand Tosfos' question? Oh, you don't know how to learn as well as me? If you use, God forbid, your Torah as a weapon, that's the type of Torah the Gemara says, better not to exist. Hashem says, don't take my Torah and turn it into a weapon. So again, going back to our question, does Torah automatically change a person? On some levels, yes. On some levels, absolutely not. A person has to be the type of person and learn Torah in the type of way that it allows a person to change. That's what Reb Leib Malin said. He didn't think it was such a kasha. A Talmud Chacham, a person who knows a lot of Torah, did a big avera? Yeah, it could happen. It's no guarantee that just because you know a lot of Torah facts and you've studied a lot of Torah ideas, that you're going to be a good person. Yeah, what would you like to say?
How would one get to that? Let's say one doesn't have that stage where it's like he wants to learn for a reason, he wants to learn for the wrong reasons. If Torah's not going to help him, meaning him learning Torah more is going to be bad for him, how is he supposed to change his character?
A person has to make a decision. Why am I learning Torah? Again, if I'm learning Torah to put other people down, then Hashem says, don't touch my Torah. But Hashem says, I understand, you want to... You know, you need a little bit of your own kavod in order to get you going. So if you want to learn Torah, Tosva says, for your own honor. So that's the type of lo lishma that we could allow. But again, it always has to be with the hope of growing out of it, right? The same way when a child begins to learn Torah, the Rambam writes, you give him candy, you give him sweets, right? That's very childish. I give you a lollipop. If you sit and learn Mishnayos with me, I'll give you a lollipop, right? And the kid's like, whoa, a lollipop, right? Obviously, you're cheapening Torah in a certain sense. But you hope that once you get him involved in Torah, eventually he'll grow up and he won't need the lollipop anymore to learn Torah. You won't need to bribe him into Torah all the time. But why don't learn Torah? Because he knows Torah is a gevaldik thing. But when he's young, you have to bribe him a little bit. So the same thing, Hashem allows us to bribe ourselves with kavod, right? To give ourselves honor. But the goal is, of course, to get to a level that Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Torah scholar of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, Torah's Moshe, it's called by the Navi. Torah is called Moshe's Torah. And yet Moshe is what? He's Anav Mikol Adam. He's the humblest, most humble person of all. Because he understood the Torah is not me. I actually just heard over Shabbos, someone was saying to me that Meir Tversky Shlita said that, what's the difference between Gaiva and Anava? What's really humility and being haughty? Right? Is a humble person a person who knows all of Shas and pretends, I don't know anything? That's not humility. Humility is realizing that when I know all of Shas, it's not me. It's a gift from Hashem. I worked really hard to earn it. To work on it. But at the end of the day, it's not kochi v'otzim yadi. It's not me. It's Hashem who gave me the ability, Baruch Hashem, to learn Torah. It's an appreciation that doesn't come from me. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu can know the most Torah, and yet because he's so connected to Hashem, he says, I'm onav mikol adam. It's not me. It's not mine. Hashem picked me. I didn't pick it for myself. Hashem selected it. So that was Reb Leib Malin's answer. But says Rav Shurkin, my father said a different answer. And this is what I really wanted to teach you today. Listen to what Rav Shurkin writes in the Sefer. He said, my father gave a different answer based on another story. He said there was a bacher in Radin. In Radin. There you go. Take a look at that picture on the wall. Radin. Chavetz Chaim. There was a bacher in Radim by the Chavetz Chaim. And this bacher was the biggest masmid. He was mamish, a huge masmid. He learned Torah yom and v'layla. And he was just a rotten fellow. He was a bad guy. And the other Talmidim couldn't understand. This guy learns so much, and he's just a jerk. He's a bad person. He has terrible midos. And they couldn't understand. How could the biggest masmid in Radin be such a bad guy? They could not understand. And the Medrash says, in Eicha, the Medrash says, when you study Torah, the Ma'ur Shaba Machziran Lemutav. The light of Torah refines a person. So finally someone decided, you know, we just have to ask. They asked this guy, they asked the Bacher. They said, everyone knows you're a big masvid, and everyone knows you're really not a nice guy. You know? We see you in the dorms, we see you in the cafeteria, we see you on the basketball court. I don't know if they had a basketball court or not, and some or not. Yeah. We see you're not a good guy. You're just not a nice person. How could it be a person who learns so much Torah is a bad guy? Listen to what he answered. Listen to what the Masmid from Radin answered. Everyone hears the question? How could it be he learns so much and he's not a good guy? So the Bacher said, you have to understand. And this is what I want you to think about coming into Chanukah. He said, you have to understand. If I didn't learn Torah, you can't even imagine how much worse I would be. That's what he said to me. He said, you think I'm a bad guy even with all the Torah I learned. I'll agree. There's definitely some parts of myself that need to be worked out. I'm not the most sensitive, kind, refined person. I don't always speak in the nicest way. I'm not the Baal Midos Tovos that a person can be and should be through Torah. But just realize what I would look like if I didn't have this much Torah in my life. And he said to them, this was the Lashon that he used, and Rav Shurkin writes here, unless you spent a winter in the frozen environments of Poland and Russia, he says, you can't even understand this mashal. It's a very crude mashal, but the masvid from Radin said, you don't understand. If I didn't have Torah in my life, I would be such an evil person that on a cold winter day in Radin, if I just wanted to warm up my hands, I would take a knife and cut someone open just to stick my hands into their kishkas to warm up my hands. That's how crazy I would be. It'd be a murderer, is basically what he was saying. If not for Torah, you can't even imagine what type of rishus I could do. So you think, I'm not such a good guy. It's true. I'll be moda ala emes. I'm not such a great guy. I'm not a great guy. But I can tell you this much. Torah has changed me. Don't think Torah hasn't changed me. And again, Chavra, I think we have to live with the balance of both. We have to realize there is a way to learn Torah in a way that really doesn't change us. It's like watering weeds, like the mashal of the Vilna Gaon. But we also have to realize that even if Torah doesn't perfect me, every bit of Torah that I learn hopefully moves me a little bit closer to being a better person. It helps me to be a little bit more refined. And just think about that for half a second. Just think about that for half a second. What would your life look like? How old are you guys? 16? Okay. So what would your life look like if you were just an American 16-year-old kid? You ever think about that? I mean, don't think about it too much, but what would your life look like? I'm serious. Think about it for a second. Think about how different your life would be if not for the fact that you have a Jewish neshama and that you sit and learn Torah from unbelievable rabbeim with an inspired group of Talmidim. Think about it for a second. What would your Sunday look like right now? What would your Motzei Shabbos look like? What would your Friday nights look like? If you were a 16-year-old American kid in public school, what would your life look like right now? So you'll say, Rabbi, you know, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I still do Averos. I know you guys do Averos. Guess what? I do Averos too. But what? How many more Averos would we do? How much more unrefined and unholy would our life be if we didn't have Torah? Think about it for a second. There's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef said, it's Gemara in Pesachim, I believe. Rav Yosef said about Shavuos is a celebration of Torah Shebichsav, Chanukah is a celebration of Torah Shebaal Peh in a certain way. That's why we have two kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, we have two kelim that represent Torah. What are the two kelim in the Beis HaMikdash that represent Torah? You have the Aron, right? The Luchos. And then you have the Menorah. So the Sfarim explained, the Aron represents Torah Shebichsav, the Menorah represents Torah Shebaal Peh. So there's a lot of links, a lot of connections between Sivan and Kislev. It's interesting. They're both the third month in a certain sense, right? Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Count from Tishrei, Kislev is the third month. If you count from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Sivan's the third month. We celebrate Hanukkah at the very end of Kislev, right? And the opposite end of the spectrum, we celebrate what? We celebrate Shavuos at the beginning of Sivan. Most Jewish holidays are in the middle of the month. There's a lot of very interesting connections between Sivan and Kislev. So Rav Yosef once said about his connection to Shavuos, he said, Il male hayoma. Gemara Pesachim, I believe. If not for this great day, meaning Kabbalah Sator, if not for what happened at Har Sinai, Rav Yosef said about himself, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. I would have just been a regular Joe Shmo from the mud. Now I'm the Halig of Rav Yosef. Okay? But he said, I would have been an average Joe. That's what he's saying. That's where the term comes from. It comes from that Gemara. Right? Rav Yosef says, Il Male Hayoma, if not for that great day when we got the Torah at Har Sinai, I would have just been a regular Joe in the morning. Joe Shmo. Average Joe. I once heard an explanation, read an explanation, from one of the Slonim Rebbe's, the Divrei Shmuel, or Shmuel the Slon. He said a gevaldic explanation. I want you to think about this, going into Hanukkah. Even if you're not, I mean, I know you guys are Masmidim. I know you're serious learners. But even if you say, yeah, but the Torah hasn't changed me completely, that's okay. Just think for half a second about this statement of Rav Yosef. He said, Il male hayoma, if not for Kabbalah Satorah, if not for the fact that we were Jewish, and we're sitting here on a Sunday morning learning Chulin, instead of just still asleep waiting for a football game to start, like your American 16-year-old counterparts probably are. Yeah? Rav Yosef said, if not for this great day of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, how many Yosefs would I have from the Shuk? How many hosafos, how many additional things would I have in my life from the shuk, from the street, from the marketplace? So you'll say, what do you mean? Rabbi should say, I'm influenced by things in the street. I am too. That's an unfortunate reality of being a human being who walks around the streets of Washington Heights. That's what happens to us sometimes. But think about how much more influence, how much more yosef, yosef means hosafos, how much additional things would be part of our life. You already say, I have, right? I can tell you how many points James Harden scored last night. Yeah? So there's things from the marketplace that are infiltrating my life. There's things that are not Jewish, and I'm connected to them. Okay. That's okay. I mean, it's not great, but, you know. But think about how many more things you would have in your life. And that's what Rav Yosef was saying. If not for Torah, how much more nonsense, how much more shtuyot would I have in my life? How much more silliness would I have in my life? And Baruch Hashem, I'm sitting here on a Sunday morning with 30 guys learning Maseches Chulin, learning Torah. I got up this morning, I davened, I put on tefillin, I made a brach on my breakfast cereal. How many good things did you already do today? And your day didn't even start yet. And think about how different your life would be. How many additional things you would have in your life from the shuk, from the marketplace, from the streets, if not for the fact that you were Jewish. So therefore, when a Jew lights the Ner Chanukah, what's the time to light the Ner Chanukah? Right. The starting point's a little bit of a question. Exactly when we start. Shkia, Tzeis, a little after Shkia. Okay, I'll leave it to Rabbi to guide you halacha l'maisa. Right? Ad shetichla regel min hashuk. Until the feet leave the marketplace. The Svarim HaKadoshim explained, part of the idea of Chanukah is to get our feet out of the marketplace. To be able to get ourselves out of the marketplace, ner ishu beso, to come back to our Jewish homes, to surround ourselves by Jewish values and Jewish ideas, and to get out of the shuk. And that's what Rav Yosef says. Even Rav Yosef says, I have a little bit of the shuk as a hashpa on me. But think about how much more I'd have if I didn't have Torah. And therefore, the whole avoda of Chanukah is what? As we move away from the marketplace, from all the hosafos, all the additions from the marketplace in our life, what do? We're mosif v'holich in kedusha. We light one candle the first night. We add a little bit more ur, a little bit more light the second night. The third night, mahadrim and a mahadrim. We keep getting filling that menorah more and more and more and more and more and more. To be most of a holich in Inyanei Kedusha. Like Chazal say, the way to tshuva is that if a person learns one daf today, and they want to be about tshuva, so learn two daf tomorrow. You learn one pasuk today, learn two pasukim tomorrow. You learn one line of Mishnah Berurah today, learn two lines of Mishnah Berurah. The way of tshuva, the way of getting close to Hashem, is to what? Is to be most of a holich. To try to always take it up a notch. Always to lift yourself a little bit higher. The same way that the nature of oil, which we use to light the menorah. What happens if you mix oil in with water? What does it do? It separates. Which way does it separate? Always rises up. Always tries to lift itself a little bit higher. Right? Ma'alin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. It lifts itself up. It tries to go up. Right? That's the avodah of mahadrim and mahadrim. Each night to be mosif aholik. To try to bring more and more of that light of Torah into our life. Again, to realize that every little bit that we learn, it does change us. It may not change us legamri. We have to work on our midos in addition to Torah, as Rav Leib Malin said. Because Torah is not an oven. You don't just pop it in the oven, pop it in the microwave, you know, push start, and then you pick it up after it dings. You need to make sure that you make yourself the type of person who Torah can transform. But like the Masmid from Radin said, there's something automatic about Torah. That, you're right, I may not be perfect yet, but I'm a lot better than I would be without Torah. And that's something we have to, when we say our Hallel over the course of Chanukah, we have to thank Hashem. Wow, thank you Hashem. Even on those Sunday mornings when I wish I could stay in bed for a little bit longer, say, wow, thank you Hashem for the gift of Torah, for the schus of being a Ben Torah, of learning in yeshiva. It's the biggest schus in the world. I'll just end, I guess, with a quick vart from the Stipler Gaon from this past week's parsha. I'm just remembering now. It's connected to the city. The Stipler Gaon, in the Sefer Birchas Peretz, says on the famous question at the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, vayelech Charana." Yaakov left the world of Be'er Shava and he went to Charan. Interesting, letters Charan are Ner Ches, Chanukah, remez to Chanukah there. But what does it mean, "Vayetze vayelech"? He left and he went. Farshim asks, why does it have to say that he went away and he went towards? Right? If I asked you, you know, let's say one of the guys in Shira, you know, went somewhere. And I'm looking for my friend. Yeah, so I say, where's Tani Engel? Where's Tani? So you say, oh, he was in Rav Mendelsohn's room, and now he's in the gym. Right? So you don't have to say where he was. I asked you where he is. So somebody, Tani's in the gym. Right? Tani's at the pizza store. Or Tani left the gym and came to the shiur room. Just tell me where he is. I don't need to know where he's coming from. Why does the pasuk need to say, Vayetze Yaakov, Miber Shava, Vayelech Harana? Just tell me, Vayelech Harana. So the Stipler Gaon says, because in life we're either going away from something or we're going towards something. And the Stipler writes, yeshiva is going away from something and going towards something. That's what he writes. When you come to yeshiva, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, you came to shir today and you slept through the whole shir. Would you say it was a waste of time? The Stipler Gaon says, no, it's not a waste of time. Not ideal. But you know what? While you didn't necessarily have a strong vayelech, because you didn't go towards Torah, but Vayetze, you went away from the bad things you would be doing otherwise. The Stipler Gaon says, yeshiva accomplishes getting us away from negative influences and also giving us the opportunity to grow positively. And that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu was doing. On the one hand, he's running away from Esav. On the other hand, he's running towards marriage, of course, with a stopover of 14 years of learning Torah. And the Stipler writes such beautiful words about the yeshiva experience. Learning Torah is a Vayetze and it's a Vayelach. You have an opportunity to get away from negative things, but more importantly, hopefully for all of you, it's an opportunity to be mosif aholich, to move towards valuable things. So Rabotai, I give you a bracha. My dear friends, I give you a bracha in the month of Chodesh Kislev. Be Jews who understand what a schus it is to have Torah in your life. Don't take it for granted. You get used to having such an Adam Gadol like Rav Mendelsohn to be your Rebbe, you know? You get used to it after a while. You don't appreciate it necessarily the same way that you can or you should. When you think about this month, L'Hodos L'Hallel, Chanukah, say thank you to Hashem that I'm a Jew. Thank you, Hashem, for making me a Jew. Sometimes it comes with a lot of responsibilities and challenges. Sometimes, I'm a little bit, we all have our lazy moments where I wish I didn't have to push myself so hard to be bound by Torah and Mitzvahs. But you know what? When I actually stop and think about it for a second, I think about the quality of my life, how my life is so much more meaningful than the average person who's living without Torah and Mitzvahs. How can I not be so thankful? I'm like a lottery winner. I'm that tiny percentage of the 7.5 billion people on planet Earth who is blessed to be a Jew, an Orthodox Jew who learns Torah. What is chus? So I give you a bracha. You should appreciate that chus. And Amir Tzashem, this Chanukah should be a time of most of a holy for each of you. Should continue to grow in Torah and Avodas Hashem. You know, give a lot of nachas ruach. Tzakarish baruch. Shkoyach. Thank you, Rabbi, for having me. Have a great day.